What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Mongols Podcast. I'm Mike. With me is Kev and Josh. Coming up on today's show, we'll get the preseason scoop from the man himself, Coach Dave Brandt. I can't wait. Let's go!
Can you believe that, guys?
No, I mean, that is the craziest sequence of events we've seen in quite a period of time.
In the top right corner, gentlemen. Out to the middle. Back to Kerr.
So I'm going to go out on a limb and say that today's guest has been one of the busiest men in the USL this offseason. Coach Brandt, we really appreciate you taking the time to talk to us. Welcome back to the show, and happy Valentine's Day, man.
Sure, thanks, guys. I'm good.
So last time we talked, you had literally just landed in Pittsburgh. It might have been 3 days after you got here. You were living in a hotel. Family wasn't here. Hoping things have improved for you since then. How has life changed for, you know, Dave Brandt, Pittsburgh resident, not even just coach?
Yeah, no, for sure. I mean, it was the whole job change happened so fast. I mean, I probably, to be fair, underestimated the whirlwind effect, especially my wife, Diane. So I appreciate you asking because, of course, that matters and that's big. And that's kind of the other side of the whole thing is just the personal side. But hey, I'm going to say it's tough moving from Annapolis. Anybody who's been there knows it's a great place, but we have loved Pittsburgh. We really have. We're foodies, to be sure, and it's a great town that way. And I think beyond that, just the spirit of the city, clean, safe, a city that we've loved. So, it's been X number of months or whatever to kind of get to know the city, the area, the people, whatever, but doing well. And certainly, right, much better than the first week I got here, so it's all good.
Have you gotten used to putting fries on literally everything?
You're going to ask me questions like that.
I'm tolerating putting fries on everything. I don't know if I'm used to it quite yet. I'll work on that in year two, let's say.
Fair enough.
So you mentioned, like, you know, better than when you first got here as far as the season you had when you first got here, a whole new team, you didn't build it. Can you kind of take us through how that was for you? And is it as difficult as you thought it was?
I think, you know, time has given a little perspective as well. I'm not even sure what I would have said right after the season. I was really disappointed. I was disappointed in myself. I was disappointed in what we're able to do. I wouldn't call myself, I don't think many coaches are overly patient. Nobody wants any sort of a long process. I mean, that's not the point. And I expect to be able to affect things. And I think looking back, we did, there was a lot of groundwork, but, you know, the results weren't at all what I wanted. They weren't what, you know, anybody wanted. And so, it was hard. It was disappointing. And I think you have to be super careful about going into the area of excuses. Oh, it wasn't my team or whatever. You know, that may be the case. But, I mean, they're guys, they're players. I had their attention. I had some time with them. And so I was disappointed. I mean, that being said, I think I underestimated the difficulty of coming into a situation, not only without a preseason, but, I think that was going to be a situation. Some things developed with the Riverhounds last year that for one reason or another were going to be difficult for whoever was there. And so, yeah, looking back, it was tough. I think while we were in it, we were just wanting to strive to do better for sure. But, you know, right now, yeah, I look at it a different way, of course.
And so you mentioned there a lot of the very legitimate challenges that were kind of already in place for you before you even came in. Another one that you kind of didn't mention was coming from the kind of college soccer world to the USL. I mean, that I'm sure that was different for you in a lot of different ways. So I'm curious, what did you learn about the USL last year that maybe you weren't expecting to learn? And how do you think that's going to impact the way things are run this season?
Yeah, I mean, people ask that, you know, and if not a lot, at least regularly. Look, it's a different situation, and that's obvious. Everybody knows that, and I get that. I don't think it didn't feel for me different, so to speak. It's the different dynamics, of course, and you just got to deal with those. There's different guys that they may be at a different stage in life, from a more diverse group. I mean, there's lots of different realities, but I've always said players are players, teams are teams. I've just found that to be true. Dynamics are dynamics, and it didn't feel different for me. And you haven't asked it yet, and I won't go into it, but the way that we set about recruiting and building this year's team, to be totally honest, didn't feel different to me from recruiting a college team. I mean, there were logistical differences, of course, but those are minor things. You know, that being said, yeah, there's plenty to learn about the league. I mean, I'd watched the league pretty closely. I knew a lot of the teams. I didn't know every team. I certainly didn't know every player. I mean, I've gotten to know the league much better. The other thing that's important to say about the league is it's such a rapidly changing league. I think for everybody in the league who's even been in the league, it's something to keep up with. This is not the USL, certainly of 3 years ago, not even of two, maybe. And so it's just changing that fast. So there's a lot of dynamics at play. I think it's tough for everybody to keep up. But, you know, I think the exposure last year, for what it's worth, was good. And then, you know, we worked hard in the offseason again in getting to know players in the league and certainly in the Western Conference who we might not have known otherwise, to try to catch up.
Well, and you mentioned, I mean, there's already a lot of young players on the team. So I'm sure as far as like age-wise dealing with players or a level of maturity, there's going to be some similarities. But I at least want to maybe explicitly ask, I mean, I would imagine the college world, yeah, I mean, you're dealing with a lot of maybe a more personal things. I mean, kids have classes, things like this. They're not necessarily on a paid contract. Whereas in the USL, there's an age jump, there's a maturity jump, there's a lifestyle jump. Do you notice any challenges with that? Or is it pretty much a straightforward kind of swap and all these guys just want to play soccer at the highest level?
Yeah, I fall back on the default. I think people are people. And I think, I do think it depends also on how the coach and the leader approaches things. And part of the reason I'm saying what I'm saying is my approach. I mean, right. My approach is similar. And if I, you know, possibly care more about the collective, a bigger picture than another pro coach cares about, then all of a sudden I enter that realm of, you know, I mean, obviously not being overly involved in guys' personal lives. I mean, that's not the point. But it may, and there are other pro coaches like that, and there are many that aren't. But I'm thinking about, you know, a Phil Jackson, a Brad Stevens, a Greg Popovich. I mean, just right as we go into different sports, that, you know, coaches are different from each other. And so, you know, right, we've got an age range, and it just depends. But we're just, you know, when you're on a team and on a venture like this, you just get pretty involved with each other, and that's kind of the way it is.
So speaking of your approach, this season, it's kind of first for us fans. You guys have your roster together pretty much before any other USL team. Started preseason way earlier than we've ever seen here. And you're also practicing here instead of going to, you know, like Florida and Arizona like the other teams.
Right.
How important is the preseason for what you want to accomplish this year?
Yeah, I think for me, you know, I hope it's more than just an overreaction to not having a preseason last year, so I freaked out this year or something like that. And you know, like we opened preseason on Thanksgiving or something, but close, not quite. January 15th, I think it was pretty much the earliest start of any pro team, any level. I mean, MLS teams hadn't even had the draft yet, or they just had the draft, so they hadn't organized yet for preseason. But yeah, I mean, I'm a big vision guy. I'm a big culture guy. I need, in my mind, time to teach what I want on the field and off the field. And I think, you know, relative to your question, that bears itself out in two ways. I mean, number one, okay, right, I need time, like I just said. And so, thus the early start. Number two, I am much more in favor of, as much as possible, a group that's been formed that we know are going to be on the team and that we can work with and move forward with. I think that the danger of having, whatever, 8, 9, 10 guys signed coming into preseason and using preseason as one big trial is, you know, the more you're trialing, the more you're trying people out, clearly the less you can teach and develop. You're just always evaluating. And so it's two things that don't work well together. And, you know, I mean, we had 23 players sign before Christmas, I think, or certainly before New Year's and before preseason. And that's where we are right now. I didn't go into this all saying we must have 23 guys signed before Christmas or before New Year's. But I knew I wanted the majority of the team signed, and that's kind of the way it fell and the way it worked out. And so far, I've been pleased with it. I mean, I do think we've been able to make progress in the preseason the kind I wanted to make.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I love it. I mean, I'm not going to sugarcoat it. The fact that you guys get in there early, I think Okai mentioned, you know, the fact that you guys are like in battle every day, getting ready to go out on the field, to go into battle, I think is just, it's fantastic. And I think that a lot of times people like to focus on the individual talent that's on a team. But a lot of times if you have a team that's gelled and playing as one cohesive unit, that's, in my mind, that's always going to beat out one or two superstars that a team may have. And so, yeah.
And look, I mean, talent is a real factor. I mean, I get that. Everybody gets that. But I'm a big believer in the power of the collective. And, you know, the ideal, of course, is to marry the two, right? I mean, if you've got a level of talent and a collective understanding and a group where the whole is greater than the sum of the parts, that's when you can really take off. I mean, that's when you can be special. That's when you can do something. And so, you know, some talent gaps are just too much to make up. And I don't think that's the case with us. I don't think we're the most talented team in the league, but I've been clear with our guys about what my goals are for them, what I will need from them in order to have a chance even to accomplish those goals. And that if they understand those things, we are good enough. You know, we're clearly good enough. So, okay, I don't know if we're the most talented team in the league, but we certainly have some talent, and we're good enough if we work together collectively.
Yeah, and I mean, you have basically 7 preseason matches coming up against NASL, USL, and college teams. What are you specifically looking for from these preseason games? You know, you on the bench watching the game, what do you hope to take out of these games?
Yeah, so there's a couple dynamics around the preseason games. I mean, I mentioned we had 23 players signed. Right now, that's 21 field players and 2 goalkeepers. Only 19 of the 21 field players, for example, we open this weekend, are able to play this weekend. I mean, Danny Earls is one of them, and Riverhounds fans will know. I mean, he's suspended still, so he's not eligible even to play in preseason games. And then Brian Arguez is still a bit of a medium-term injury. So my point in bringing that up is, you know, we've had to bring in a few trialists just to make it through the weekend. I mean, we play 3 straight weekends coming up. We'll play on Saturday and Sunday. So, you know, we're almost our dedicated group, and we've got a few trialists in that we have to catch up to speed quickly. But, you know, if you ask what my objectives are, what I'm looking for, I've been very clear with the team, and I suppose I'd take a risk in saying this and just throwing it out to anybody who's listening or who gets this. And I've told the team I want to win 7 preseason games, and I'm the type of person, a game is a game. And if it's postseason, in-season, preseason, I care. Because for me, it's a branding issue. Our name is on it. I understand that preseason games don't count in the standings. I get that. And I've told the team there's only one way in which I will not play to win these games, and that's in terms of minutes played. I mean, I am not going to put an 11 out there on Saturday and on Sunday that I choose to based on winning the game. That's impossible. I don't want our guys to play 180 minutes right now, or probably ever in 2 days. And so the time will be split, and we'll essentially go down with 2 squads and make sure that guys, the first couple weekends at least, play 45 minutes a day, a game, and get their 90 in over 2 ways that way, and then build it. So, you know, that will be what it is. But beyond that, in terms of the mentality, I want to win. I want our brand to mean toughness, discipline, identity, and winning, and it starts now. It starts this weekend. Beyond that, yeah, clearly we're evaluating. I mean, guys aren't trying out as much as they're signed, but, you know, what's being developed now? Well, you know, now it's being developed, you know, which guys are going to earn just full time. I absolutely must start them every game because the play warrants that. Which guys are guys who are maybe not quite there, but you know you can depend on them, and which guys just aren't there yet, you know, if anybody. And so I think the stakes are high in that respect. I mean, nothing you wouldn't expect, but yeah, they're important games for us.
So you just talked about a bit of system. You talked a bit about the squad going into the preseason. Lots of returning faces, though, especially in the midfield and forward positions, but you also have a couple new young faces. In your eyes, how is the team different from last season? Not only squad, but system and everything like that. Do you feel like you were able to strengthen the positions that you want to? And do you feel like the players complement the real true way you want to play in a nice kind of balanced way?
Yeah, I would, I would probably, I think the team is that there's a very different feel from last year, and I think there's a very different reality from last season. I would probably contest the fact a little bit, or the statement a little bit, you know, kind of lots of returning faces. There's certainly some, and I mean, it doesn't matter where it's semantics here, but it feels a very new group. I would say there are lots of new faces. There are certainly some, I think, very key returning guys in certain areas. I mean, you asked if I felt we were able to strengthen in the right ways at the right positions. I mean, I think I do, clearly. I think, you know, some of the key returners, Corey Herzog, Stephen Okai has been fantastic in preseason. Michael Green has been very good in preseason. I think people are going to see a different Michael Green this year, or they're not going to see him, to be honest. And Ryan Adelaide is healthy again. He was playing the last few months of last season on half of a knee, which he had, which he got scoped in the off season. And so, but there's a lot of new faces, and I think it's a very new feel to the team. I think we're deeper. I hope that's a good thing. I mean, there's probably a sort of depth where, you know, there's a lot of average. I sure as heck hope that's not what we've created. I don't think that's what we've created, but, you know, I'm not going to just say, boom, we've got it all figured out right now. I like our possibilities. I like the team. I like the signings. And I think we're deep in the attack, maybe too deep. In other words, I hope I can use all the resources well. I don't think we're as deep in the back. And is that a small point of concern now? Yes.
What sort of things are you trying to do in the back line, at least, since we aren't as deep back there and there are like pretty much all new faces back there to kind of get them ready?
Well, you know, I think, look, there's no secrets. I mean, we're training and working daily in what we're trying to do. And you're right. We are probably newer in the back than anywhere else. I mean, that's clear. And so, including the goalkeeper position, but it is a group, like, I think we can be very good. I don't feel quite deep enough back there now. And so, you know, that's not a super comfortable position for a coach to be in, just because you're sensing that, you know, maybe we're one or two bad breaks away from maybe not being quite ready. But, you know, the wheel's still in spin. The guys are still developing. It's February 13th right now, and we've gotten off to a good start. Things are good. I do think we're deeper in the front six than we are in the back four.
Can you drop any names about who's sort of making it tough to, you know, looking ahead to this weekend? You got to put together a game day roster. In terms of those individual battles, which battles are you really intrigued to see, and who's making the decision really tough for you at this point?
Yeah, I think in the center of midfield, and I mentioned that, you know, Danny is kind of out of the picture right now. Just he's not eligible to play. But three guys in the midfield holder position: Stephen Okai, Michael Green, and Victor Soto. And then when you throw in Victor's a you know, a rookie out of Akron who's done very well. You throw in a Brian Arguez when he gets healthy, and a Danny Earls when he's eligible, and that's five guys for two spots. And I think a lot about that. I think we're very strong at the wing position, where we've got two new international signings, Jamaican Kenroy Howell, a kid from St. Kitts named Devon Elliott, Kevin Kerr, who may play up top as well because he's been fantastic up there when I've looked at him up there. And then a kid out of Ohio State named Ben Fitzpatrick, who again has been just super. And then up top, I mean, Corey has been on point and great. I mentioned I've looked at Kevin up there at times, and he's been absolutely spot on. I mean, 50% better than at any point I ever saw him last season. Siobhan Walsh has had some injury issues, still working his way into fitness, but both Kay Banjo and John Manga, who are rookies out of UMBC and Cincinnati respectively, both those guys are a year out of school. They're rookies to the USL, are flat-out USL players. Kay is a little bit ahead of John. I mean, Kay is a guy who could start for us. So, you know, in those front positions, I do feel we've got, in most cases, three or four starting quality players for two spots. And so that's what I meant about, I do think we have good depth in the front six.
Maybe the solution is to play a 2-3-5 this year. You know, just throwing it out there.
I've always got a legal pad in front of me. I'm always tinkering. You never know.
So Tuffy mentioned that the locker room wasn't what it should have been last season. What's the locker room like this year?
You know, I think last season, I mean, I'll just say it. I don't know whether people want to hear it or not, or if it's politically correct for me to say it or not. I found the locker room to be cliquey, selfish, and not have a whole lot of spine. And, you know, that's something that was in the air. I mean, it was just in the air. And so rather than say, well, it was these three guys or it was these four guys or whatever, for whatever reason, it was in the air and it was palpable. And so, you know, it's something that I fought immediately. And to be fair to the guys in the locker room last year, most of them, all of them who survived the season. I mean, we let go of some guys who I don't think were able to fight that battle. But every guy we kept through the end of the season was at least trying to fight that battle. Sometimes that can be a hard battle to fight. And there's lots of reasons for that. There's no question that this year had to be completely different. I mean, I don't do that sort of locker room. I don't want to be involved with that sort of thing. That's just not going to happen. And there's different kinds of coaches, and I'm probably a little bit more wanting my thumb on things and wanting to know what's going on and wanting a bit of control in these types of areas. And so I just made very sure in the recruiting process that, you know, no matter what else, we were getting guys who understood what I wanted on and off the field. And so nobody was signed without lengthy and numerous phone conversations and emails, in some cases me legitimately trying to almost scare guys away, saying, well, what is this about that, you know? And I know, and it's I'm being facetious and funny at the same time. Yeah, I'm also being serious. I mean, I'm like, it actually happened, because, you know, I know what I want. There's a toughness and a discipline and a strength and a will to succeed that for whatever reasons was not here last year. And you come in midstream and you try to flick the switch and just get that, and it's very difficult. And so that's what starting early is about. That's what forming a different kind of a locker room is about, because those are the things that win games and win championships. And those are the things that people respect.
I mean, just from the outside looking in, especially like with the Inside the Box segments that you guys are doing, it looks like there's a lot more, excitement with the team. The guys look like they're having a lot of fun. It looks like you might have a couple class clowns. Any names you can drop that you can see that being? I'm particularly thinking of Trey Mitchell, perhaps.
Segments, which I haven't watched yet. I didn't know we had class clown. We have some personality. Goalkeeper Trey Mitchell might, lead the league in that sort of personality. But honestly, but Corey Herzog, of course, is a returner. Is the biggest 11-year-old I know. So we've certainly got. And I'll say that to his face. I think it's a really it is. It's a great group of guys. I have thoroughly enjoyed working with them, and you know that matters. We have a lot of work in front of us. There's a lot of battles to be fought and won, and we all know that. And that's meaningful and it's serious and it's going to take something. But it's a far different feel and a far different group of guys. And right, that was intentional.
Well, Coach, you know, as I mentioned, we know you're busy. We want to be respectful of your time. This was fantastic. I think going into this, there were a lot of players that, obviously we recognize from last season, but there's a lot of new faces. And I think, you know, just hearing your voice and talking us through this makes me feel so excited about what's to come. So, you know, thanks again. We would love to have you back on before we kick off the regular season, get your thoughts on the preseason and the Red Bulls and all of that. But otherwise, you know, best of luck on the trip down to Carolina this weekend. We'll obviously be watching and keeping an eye out. And yeah, man, best of luck. And thanks again for coming on. We really, really appreciate it.
Yeah, no, that's great, guys. Appreciate being on and being able to talk about it a bit. We're excited and we'll push forward from here. So thanks.
Thanks, Coach.
Thanks.
So, guys, it really is ironic that we're recording, basically the night before Valentine's Day. I think I'm in love. Like, I think you were saying that, you know, you hear a lot of coaches talk, and Coach Brandt, you hear him talk. You hear the passion in his voice. We were talking a little bit off air. He seems like a good dude, man. I'm feeling really good. I mean, what do you guys think?
Yeah, no, I mean, like as a former Pittsburgh resident, I still feel like I'm a Pittsburgher. I live in Knoxville, but you know, as like a Pittsburgh resident, as a Riverhounds fan, it's good to hear. Yeah, it's just good to hear everything that he's talking about, whether they're training in Pittsburgh, the fact that they want to train in Pittsburgh, the fact that everyone seems eager to kind of get in there, the fact that, you know, I was really happy to hear him directly comment about, like, kind of behind the scenes locker room stuff, and the fact that that seems to be in a better position, or in a position that he would like, much, you know, compared to last season. Because I think, I don't know, especially as fans, I know I personally can kind of forget that stuff really plays an impact. I mean, because we just kind of watch them on the field every week and kind of forget that, once again, these people are human beings that have lives and have interactions off the field. And I mean, you know, I can only imagine if things are great in the locker room. I mean, that has an impact on the field with certain kind of link up play happening and certain relationships building on the pitch. And I mean, so that was great to hear.
Yeah, I thought it was great to hear what he had to say. And it's just every interview we've done so far, just every time it's over, I'm just thinking like, oh, is the season here yet? Like, I really want this to happen. This is probably the most the most excited I've been for a season to start, because I really feel like there's been a lot of shakeups and there's been a lot of forward momentum with this team and with the front office, just the way it's ran everything. It just feels like there's been enough happening behind the scenes to really make a difference, and I'm excited to see that difference.
Well, and even following up on that, Josh, I mean, the fact that it's probably, maybe the transparency was always there, but now it's just more in my face because I'm part of this podcast, so I get to hear it kind of firsthand. But the, like, getting all this information now, I don't know, when we start seeing things kind of unveil themselves on the pitch, I feel better about thinking like, oh, okay, that's what they were maybe trying to do, or this is where they're trying to go with it. And you know, that kind of discussion, conversation, and transparency, I think is as a fan, I mean, I can ask for nothing more. It's great to hear.
And I can tell you that the transparency, even if it wasn't there for everyone, like for people who were really following the team, we knew what was going on behind the scenes the last couple of years. And even then, it never felt this way. Like, yeah. That transparency, you actually felt good about it this season, unlike mm-hmm. last seasons, or, you know, a couple seasons where you're like, okay, it could be a shaky ride. Like, yeah. So it's almost like this is the first time where transparency has paid off, where I actually feel more confident.
Speaking of confidence, I made a few notes as we were talking. The one thing that I thought, you know, was interesting, we've already touched on it, you know, him basically saying there was not a lot of spine and it was very clicky, which we had heard a little bit of rumblings of over the course of the season. But Kev, you know, to your point, that could be disrupting. The other thing that I thought was interesting, and all of our eyes sort of lit up, I was going to ask him specifically, you know, if, you know, Mike Green, we joked about how he sort of bounced all over the field last season, and it sounds like he's going to potentially play in the midfield. Or not, as Coach Frey put out. We're all like, whoa, okay,
well,
or not.
He made
all
that right. point, though, that the midfield especially is, like, really, really contested. Like, five players for one or for two spots. So, no, I feel like, you know, Green could fight his way in there. I thought it was a little bit more interesting about Kerr playing up top. Like, that was kind of like, oh, really? Okay.
I could totally get behind that, too. Yeah, I mean, it's... we've talked about it, in especially last season. I mean, for a player of his kind of technical ability... I don't want to say I feel like he's maybe wasted on the wing, but I love to see him more central, in a place where he's maybe going to get more touches and he'll be more influential. Maybe the way, you know, Coach Brandt, the way the system he's trying to set up, you know, maybe outside players will have a lot of influence. I don't know. But no, I mean, yeah, it's like him mentioning the kind of explicitly like two midfielders. He talked about, you know, wide players. I think he used the term wingers, if I don't want to put words in his mouth, but you know, the fact that that's in the forefront of his mind and all that kind of stuff. Yeah, it'll be interesting. I got some nice, I don't know, teases into in the kind of formations and stuff.
Yeah, and I don't want to spend too much time on this, but he did an interview with John Krasinski, I think it was last week, our buddy John, and he mentioned trying to play something like a 4-2-2-2, which, you know, was something that the Red Bulls did with some pretty good success last year, but that takes a lot of drilling. I mean, the reason why the Red Bulls play that way is because they've been playing that way through their youth system and really just have it down. It's ingrained. It's not something you just pick up mid-season. So, yeah, if you're going with, you know, the two wing backs that are going to be flying up and down the field, and then you sort of have the two holding mids, two attacking mids, two forwards, it's going to be interesting. Like, I'm trying to think of, like, a Herzog-Kerr front line, or, you know, even having Herzog maybe sit right behind something like a Kerr and Chevy. That could be really interesting, so... Yeah,
I don't know. I don't. Maybe we shouldn't get into too much speculation about all this stuff. But I mean, like, almost see, like, maybe my interpretation of it is, I'm trying to remember. I think what Red Bulls 2 kind of played that 4-2-2-2 pretty narrowly, if I remember correctly.
Yes.
Right. Yeah. I mean.
Yes.
But I mean, I don't know. The way Coach Brandt was even talking about there, I don't know. I'm maybe more convinced that it might be more kind of like a 4-4-2, where that kind of two that sandwiched in between the top two and the holding midfielders might be maybe a bit wider and not be as narrow as something like a Red Bulls 2 would play. But I don't know.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
So the first round of the preseason games are this weekend. They're heading to North Carolina to take on North Carolina FC of the NASL, and they're also going to be playing Duke, as Coach said, Saturday and Sunday games. Guessing neither of those games are going to be televised, but you know, there's always some show notes. There's always some game notes that get leaked out by the team. Anything in particular you guys are looking for? You know, when you're glancing over that, what's the first thing you're gonna try to look at, Josh? What do you think?
I mean, the fact that he came out and said, like, you know, we're looking to win these games. It's not so much about, you know, testing out new players. We're not going to get the USA team like we, you know what I mean, where it's like, oh, we're just going to try a whole bunch of new formations and a whole bunch of new players and see what happens. Like, yeah. It's kind of interesting that he's going at it as if this is a league game. Like, okay, we have to win this. So that's exciting to me, especially I feel like North Carolina – FC, like, just because they are, you know, NASL, and there's always that chip on USL teams' shoulders when you have to go up against an NASL team. You want to win those just for bragging rights, and maybe even more so this year since we're both Division Two. So it's kind of like, you know, proving that we belong up there.
Who's the real Division Two?
Yeah, it's always felt that way though. USL has always had this chip on their shoulders when it comes to NASL teams. So, yeah, this new formation thing going on is just adding to that fire.
Yeah. Kev, anything you looking for?
Well, I was gonna say, yeah, Josh, I don't think I could have said it any better. I mean, the fact that, you know, the whole, like, breeding a winning mentality. I mean, I think that's something that maybe we lacked a lot last year. Of, you know, there are certain points in the season, certain points in the game where, if you can look back on your previous games and your previous experiences with those other 10 players on the field and look them in the eye and say, you know what, no, we've been here before and we've come through the other side with 3 points. I mean, that counts for a lot. And so, you know, getting that started right out of the gate in the preseason games, I think is great to see. I mean, the other thing is, not necessarily pre-match, but post-match, I don't want to get any injuries. I mean, that's an obvious statement, but that's always kind of in the forefront of my head, especially maybe not being as deep at the back. You know, if that would be a bad start if like someone like Adelaide goes out with like a recurring knee injury again from a preseason game. So if we can get through unscathed, that would be great.
I'm blaming you now, Kevin.
Sorry.
I mean, just so you're aware, timestamp this moment in the podcast. This is all Kevin's fault. He's the reason why we lost the whole season.
and you had to mention Adelaide, who's been out there just tearing it up all offseason.
Yeah. I really liked him at the end of the last season, too. He was one of my favorite players back there. I mean, he was, yeah.
Keep trying to fix it. Keep going, Kevin. All right. Well, okay, before we wrap things up, you know, just wanted to touch on something, let you guys in on some behind-the-scenes stuff that's going on here at Mongols. So we have been humbled, honestly, by the growing support of the show, and that pushes the three of us to keep trying to bring you better and better episodes packed with more interviews, inside information, not just about the Hounds, but also about the teams that we'll be facing this season. You know, prepare yourself. We're going to be talking to a lot of different people. It's going to be great. Our goal is really to produce a show that we as fans would want to hear ourselves. But that said, you know, it takes each of us a lot of time and money to keep doing this, and we've started to look into ways to helping to keep our costs down. So we briefly toyed with the idea of getting advertisers, but, you know, we like listening to commercials as much as you do, so we decided to scrap that. Instead, we are pouring our hearts out and deciding to appeal to you, our growing and passionate fan base. These shows will always be free, but if you'd like to donate to help us to keep doing what we're doing, keep growing the conversation and growing the local soccer scene in Pittsburgh, we now have a mechanism for you to do that. So just head over to mongols.com, or you can click onto the show page from bgn.fm. There you'll see a new donate to the show button in the sidebar. For $4 a month, some of you have been asking about this, for $4 a month, which is less than $1 per episode, you can become an official supporter. I'm doing air quotes here. Official supporter of the show. And you'll get a say in who we talk to on the show, interview questions we ask, topics we cover, as well as you'll get to take part in a supporters-only Google Hangout with Kev, Josh, and myself, where we can discuss really whatever you want to discuss. So that's going to be a lot of fun. If you're interested, just head over to the website, click on the donate button to become a supporter. Your donation will go towards covering our hosting costs and will allow us to keep pushing Mongols further and further, bringing you more and more of these types of things that you want to see and hear. And, you know, again, we're not going to bring this up during the show for the rest of the season because, like I said, we hate commercials, but we may add a short little plug after we sign off for anyone that's new. So, you know, if you've heard this spiel and you've already donated or not, feel free to turn off the show after Josh says later. That's sort of like the key word, and then we'll play it. You know, we don't want to harass you, but people have been asking, and, you know, we would really appreciate your support and help us keep doing what we're doing. But, yeah, I guess speaking of, you know, later, thanks again to everyone for listening. Obviously, thanks to Coach for joining us. You can follow us on Twitter, @Mongols. Email us at mongols@bgn.fm. Head over to iTunes, subscribe to the show, leave us a review. If you're looking for more great soccer podcasts, head over to the Beautiful Game Network at bgn.fm. Our friends Evan, Ryan, and Brendan host the USL Eastern Conference Confidential podcast. And this week, they were talking to our quote-unquote rivals from FC Cincinnati to get the scoop on them this season. And it was a great show. You can check it out over at bgn.fm. Otherwise, thanks, everybody. We will be back. We are now a weekly show again. Woo! Season 2, full swing. We're going to have another fun interview next week. You might be able to guess from what Coach was saying who that may be. Wink, wink, nod, nod. So stay tuned. We will talk to you very, very soon.
Cheers.
Later.